right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, there he is, Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for yet again another one. And we're going to be talking about all things NFL. Listen, if you're new to the show, we really do appreciate you stopping in. Could you do us a huge favor? Help us grow this channel. We're already eclipsing 4,000. We're at 3,760 right now. We're closing in on 4. Want you to be a part of it. Become part of the Blitz Nation. And you can do that just heading over to YouTube for us. Hit that subscribe button. Also, don't forget, hit the thumbs up. Share it to all your family and friends. And don't forget to comment down below because we are live right now. We will be reacting to any comments down below, whether it be a question, an opinion, want to share it into some of the show. That's what it's all about. And we are brought to you by Grumblings Media. That's right. Go ahead over to grumblingsmedia.com. Check out their website there. They have articles. They have other podcasts like ours, whether it be political, entertainment, and other sports. This is your one-stop shop to go for it. Jim, let's get into this thing. And we can start this off right now by simply going over some of the craziness that was the NFL this past
weekend, right?
Yeah, so real quick, like there was some crazy, crazy games for sure. Like, and if you were lucky to see them, like we look at the nail biter that was the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Washington Commanders. That game, I tell you, that was something impressive. Like for both clubs, you got to see it was a challenge on both sides. Russell Wilson, you know, can he win against tougher competition? This Commanders team, led by rookie Jaden Daniels, was able to keep this game close. They had the lead right towards the end, but then the defense failed the Commanders, which if you watched last week's show, we kind of alluded to that could be the deciding factor. And sure enough, the Commanders defense let them down. Steelers go ahead very, very late into that game, and then were able to close it out. Steelers win up that game. Another surprising thing that I'll have to say is the Vikings game. I mean, Vikings against Jaguars, we thought that this was going to be like a landslide. It was going to be over. Vikings should run away with this game. And it only ended a 12-7 game. So Sam Darnold had a very rough outing. That offense didn't look that well, didn't look as in sync. That was one game that kind of surprised me. Another one I want to say is I got to say Patriots. Like, we talked about it how maybe the Patriots could win. Maybe they figure it out. But the Chicago defense, we fully expected them to kind of give them a run for their money. And the Bears D did not. Patriots were able to overcome and beat the Bears and Caleb Williams. All the hysteria about Caleb Williams, how he's going to be the quintessential quarterback for the Chicago Bears and bring him to the homeland. Well, it ain't going to happen this week. The Patriots, who have Drake May at the helm, we're able to beat the Bears 19-3. If you look at some of the other matchups, something else I want to kind of touch on is the Jets. The Jets. This was a game against the Arizona Cardinals that we saw against the Texans. We thought we saw the Jets offense kind of came to life. And we're like, oh, this is the team that we've been waiting to see. You know, with all these collected pieces, they should be winning more games. Going into this matchup, After kind of surprising some people against the Texans, you kind of expect the Jets to kind of keep the ball rolling and maybe get another W against the Cardinals. Well, I got news for everybody. Arizona Cardinals, they're legit. They're real. They might not have all the star-studded roster, but they got ballers. They got competitors. And they've played very solid defensively as well as offensively. And they are able to pull off some wins. Now, they get a win against the Jets, and it wasn't even close, 31-6. So now you're thinking, is this it for the Jets now? Are they pretty much done for the year? Because it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to crawl out of the hole that they put themselves in. And it might just be over and out. We're done. Looking towards next season. But Arizona Cardinals are on a completely different spectrum right now. They are looking at, right now, leading the division. Right now, really surprising some people out there, and they continue to do it. Let's see when it comes to a tougher matchup that they're going to have to face. I'm curious to see how they handle when that happens.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, yeah, it was crazy. It was funny too. Is there was a lot of games to where some of the key teams where you thought were kind of have, you know, have the win and kind of control the game still though, but even be a tighter game, came up, you know, really sluggish at first. Look at that Detroit game. Holy smokes! Like they pretty much got lucky in that one easily because it seemed like again Houston was going to roll them. That whole first half was insane. And the fact that, you know, the Detroit Lions, especially right after Dan Campbell comes out at halftime and says, well, we need to do defense, got to start making some turnovers here and there. And wouldn't you know it, there's a turnover right there as he's being interviewed on the sideline. And they come back and win that game in the end. Wow, what a crazy game. And then the Giants even, too. You want to talk about my Giants. We're going to talk about them a little bit. Actually, I'll hold off on that one. But that one, again, a tough loss here in Germany after winning the coin toss and going to the overtime where you think you have an opportunity. And
you usually have an advantage.
A bunch of other ones. Right. And Arizona. How about Arizona? We said this was going to be like Arizona was going to keep this close and be very competitive in this one. And we wouldn't be surprised if they were going to win this one. Well, they destroyed the Jets. The Jets just didn't show up at all. And, you know, for a team that you think that coming after a win like they did last week against a tough Houston team, you figure you're going into this one with some confidence and. Mm-hmm. Let's get this thing going. Let's chain a few together in a team where technically you really should have probably beat still. But obviously it looks like they kind of got too high off of that last game and, you know, overlooked this hungry Arizona Cardinals team that, again, nobody saw coming. I mean, if I had started a pick six this week, it might have been teams that we never saw coming. And Arizona Cardinals would be on that list right there.
But we kind of, like, as we evaluated the season and how it was progressing, like, we were telling everybody, speaking up for the Cardinals and saying, hey, listen, this team we thought was going to be coming into the season, we didn't give them any chance at all, but now things are looking different in Arizona. You know, Kyler Murray, a healthy Kyler Murray, is putting defense on skates. You know, this defense of theirs that we really didn't give them credit early on in the season, and you know, now that you see what they're able to accomplish, where they don't have any really big names, they got some nice players. Obviously they got Buda Baker on the back end of that defense, but this team comes to play every single week, plays hard-nosed football. They like to run the ball, they throw at will when they're ready, and then the defense just takes it over. Like, they just take over games, and they play at a very high level. So this Cardinals team, honestly, surprised the hell out of me. And at this point in the season, midway, you're starting to notice that, you know, maybe the Cardinals are going to be pushing for the playoffs. It's harder in the NFC. There is a much taller mountain to climb because of there is a ton of competitive teams that are all vying for those eight spots. And trying to claw their way into them. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to have enough to make it, but right now they're in position for sure. Detroit Lions and the Texans, like you touched on, like that was a game of mistakes. The Detroit Lions made a ton of mistakes
Jared
early
Goff
on.
Goff made a lot of mistakes.
The early on,
a lot of them were inexcusable.
The Houston Texans were able to score points. And then the Detroit Lions were just trying to force things to happen. Jared Goff was not himself, really. Just not himself. Like, making very uncharacteristic type of plays, especially this season. But, hey, this is the thing. His defense helped him. They extended the amount of time that he gave him more opportunities. They got those couple of turnovers, like Dan Campbell said they needed. And then it just turned the tide. And then here you are at the end with an opportunity to kick a field goal to win it. They do that. Good for them. They remain on that hot streak. A little bit of a speed bump, but nonetheless, a win is a win. And the Dolphins-Rams, final thing I want to touch on.
Yep.
Dolphins-Rams. When we looked at this matchup, Puka Nacua back, you know, Cooper Kupp back, you're feeling really good as a Rams fan. And to make it even better, by the end of the week, you didn't get one, but you got two starting offensive guards back to solidify that offensive line. And oh my God, you got to be like, oh, this is it. We got this game. Like, Miami's not going to be able to stop us defensively. And the only thing that we'd have to worry about is, can our Rams defense rise to the occasion? Can it stop Tua 2-3 times in this game to give us a leg up offensively? I got to say, I am impressed by the Dolphins defense in this matchup. They stepped up. They were able to stop Matt Stafford and the Rams quite often, keeping them in the realm of things. Tua looked a little shaky early on in that game. Wasn't really executing as well as he'd like to be. But at the second half, man, you started to see something different in this Dolphins team. They came back to life offensively, defensively. With that, there's a defensive lineman for the Dolphins, Siler. His last name's Siler. He just got back this week, and everybody says, all the Dolphins fans out there, they're all saying how good of a player he is. Well, he showed up in that game. He was making big-time plays under the lights and also helped that Dolphins kind of get that win. And I'm disappointed in the Rams, honestly. Like, I thought they should have won that game.
Right, yeah, especially when you got Tua and the Dolphins where you kind of need them. I definitely saw them making a push, especially also seeing where Arizona is right now. I thought definitely they said to themselves, hey, we still have a shot here. It's close. We can take Arizona in the end here in this one and catch up for his division. And apparently they can't, you know, so it's tough. But it was a lot of good matchups. So we're going to talk about the New York Giants again. And it's not going to be a full pity party here like I had before on a different show when I talked about the New York nightmare. But again, we're going to talk QB change. Now they're going to have, their bye week here. They already had a press conference about things. They lose in Berlin. I'm watching this game, Joe, and we've always had this, you know, everybody keeps debating, is Daniel Jones good? Is he not? Is he good? And, you know, we've decided that he's just not. And I said also it's at the most inopportune times. And there's multiple times in this game, the Giants have no problem getting to the red zone. They just can't score when they're there, or Daniel Jones just turns the ball over. They had even a turnover. I'm not even going to count the one off the helmet, you know, whatever, early on. But the turnover, which already put them in field goal range, you know what I mean, right there. And would you know, like a play or two afterwards, Daniel Jones throws an out route to Tyrone Tracy, and it's picked off here. And, yes, Tyrone Tracy should have probably caught that one, but that's third down and goal pretty much on this one. And you had a tight end up the middle. It's a couple different receivers. You have to at least throw past the first down marker. That's your target. And you're even that close to the goal. You have to take a shot at the goal. This isn't check down time here. And I said, the game is on the line. You're already in field goal range. You're there. You're pretty much guaranteed points unless you were the New York Football Giants or Daniel Jones. And you turn the ball over right there. So this game should have even been as close as it was. And how embarrassing it was, and it's all because of Daniel Jones. And then, you know, the turnover and you know, the coin toss, they win the coin toss, they get the ball. First play, strip fumble right there, fumble for Tracy. It's turned right over. It's right there, easy for the other team here. But it's there, you know, for the Carolina Panthers. And you can't lose. We talked about this. You can't lose to the Panthers. The Giants, you're a bad team, but you've been in a lot of close games. This one shouldn't have been one of those close games. You've been in a lot of close games against tough competition. I mean, this is the Panthers. And, yes, Bryce Young has been able to do a couple more things here, make some plays with his legs, something that Andy Dalton can't exactly do. But still, a definitely winnable win, and they fail again. And now it's time to make a change. Joe, what do you think?
I mean, we've kind of already alluded to this, like going back to the draft. If you read the tea leaves in this past draft, the Giants were really trying to trade up to get Drake May. And they tried to work out a deal so they could acquire him, but it just never was going to work out because they just wanted way too much. The Patriots wanted way too much in compensation for the Giants to move up a few spots. So that didn't happen. And now the Giants were forced to stick with Daniel Jones, not have really any option other than him. They are paying him, a lot of money too. So it's like, okay, yeah. All right, you know, Brian Daboll's like, all right, we'll deal with it another year. I'll try to figure some things out. I'm going to be calling the offensive play, so maybe we'll be able to make some things work anyway to keep us competitive. And we told a lot of our Blitz Nation, I mean, this is going back from even in the offseason, about how Daniel Jones sometimes makes some good decisions, makes some good plays, but more times than not, doesn't always execute and screws up. And those are the plays that you have to learn from. As a quarterback, you got to learn from your mistakes and then do not repeat them next time. Like say, okay, I learned this next week, next year, whatever the case may be, I know not to do this again or make a bad decision like this again. So for Daniel Jones and the Giants, I think the writing was on the wall early on this offseason. But they were just stuck with him right now. They weren't able to get the quarterback that they wanted. Here he is now. And we already know that going into this next offseason, they are done. They're done. Brian Daboll and the coaching staff, they've had enough. They're like, this guy just keeps doing the same stupid mistakes over and over and over, never learns from them. We can't do it anymore. We need to find somebody else. So for Daniel Jones, I don't know what his future entails, but usually with younger, with young-ish quarterbacks like a Daniel Jones, whether the Giants trade him or are able to get out of his contract and release him after June, whatever the case may be, or they might be stuck with him as a backup at the very least. They might call it a quarterback competition in the offseason, but they're going to try to get out of the deal, but if they can't, he'll be a glorified backup at that point. And they're going to go and bring in, whether it be a draft pick, or that's what they really want. But this year sucks for drafting quarterbacks. It really does. I'm being honest about it. Like, this year is the worst year to not only need a quarterback, but now trying to figure out who is the best quarterback as we get closer to the draft. And do you make the right call? Are any of the quarterbacks worth starting NFL caliber type of guys? I don't know. I see a lot of talent. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, those big names are always out there. But there's other guys like a Dylan Gabriel from Oregon who I really kind of like. But we'll see. As we get closer to that part of the NFL season, we're going to give you guys, you know, we'll do our own little scouting. We'll give you guys our top 10 and whatnot when that comes time. But Jim, I got to say, Giants, we definitely know that they're out on Daniel Jones. It's a matter of what decision do they make as we get closer to the draft? What are they looking for? Are they looking for a mobile guy who can throw it? Are they looking for more of a pocket passer? That's going to be the interesting thing with the Giants.
Right. And the thing is here, too, like I just showed up even the stats here, too. Since Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were brought in here, yes, they did have a playoff berth and a win here. And went 2022, 9-7-1, which kick-started this whole problem. Because going in to try and fix the situation, they were thinking long-term, something happened a little too prematurely. So that all of a sudden got the ball rolling, say, hey, maybe this is happening a little quicker than we thought. Okay, maybe we can run it back again. And it happened to be right there to where we can give an extension to Daniel Jones. They pulled the trigger. He's re-signed to a four-year deal, $160 million. And now a few years later, they're, you know, overall record 17-26-1. And, you know, Daniel Jones injured multiple times. You're worried about his career there and if he's going to stay on the field to stay healthy. But then even the mistakes that he's still making, that's something you should grow after after having even – this is probably the most continuous of a head coaching, class that he's had together. You know what I mean? Because before you could always say, well, they brought in multiple coaches in different schemes. So he had to learn a couple of different ones. There's change, turnaround, blah, blah, blah. And that's partially part of the reason now that I think John Mara is saying he's staying with Joe Shane and he's staying with Brian Daboll because the Giants don't like doing all that. They don't like changing around all of our different single year. They really want stability. They want to be one of those franchises that kind of gets back to this whole thing with stay stable, which stick with our team that we have, which grow, which go at the ultimate plan. So going forward now, I think the Maras have also looked at this and said, let's look at the ultimate plan now. After I've already reassured that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are sticking around, It's the bye week. What are you doing, fellas? Daniel Jones is guaranteed $23 million, has an injury guarantee. So if he gets injured, he still makes that money. So
yeah. To go with his contract.
Sure.
His total guaranteed salary for this year is $36 million. So they got to pay him $36 no matter what.
Yep.
And they can get out of it if you make him a post-June 1st cut. Mm-hmm. However, you're only going to save this year, you're going to save $750,000, but your dead money hit is going to be tremendous. It's going to be $47 million. Now, in 25, there's no guaranteed payment at all. That's it. He's done with guarantees in 25. If you were able to make him a post-June 1st cut next year, it is $30 million in cap space and only $11 million in dead money. So you could possibly see a scenario where the Giants keep him for one more year under contract, draft a quarterback, have a little bit of a competition, and they're going to hope, obviously, that the rookie wins. But even if he doesn't, you got something, you at least have insurance one way or the other, whether Daniel Jones stays as a backup or the rookie can come in, you know, if things get a little crazy the following year. And that way you save the most amount of money out of his contract. But again, you'd have to wait another year to do that.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand that scenario too. I can see that being a likely scenario, but then also it has been brought up to the fact that we've seen teams do this before when you have a situation like this. And we saw it with say Russell Wilson even. And also the Vegas Raiders with Derek Carr, same thing. Didn't they shut him down? And then all of a sudden he was traded away, right? So
No, he wasn't traded away.
He was a free cut. Cut. So this is a scenario that can happen, I think, going into this next season. The fact that they just shut him down, they got to do it anyways, keep him healthy so he can go to a different team, and they start somebody else now. And they keep whoever's there now, I think, in the back. But if you do that, who's the quarterback now that you're pulling to? I know a lot of people automatically assume that Drew Locke is going to be the guy moving in, stepping up next. But I kind of look at why not put Tommy DeVito in right now? Because if you're looking for one, a younger guy to see what you even got there, you know what I mean? He's still unproven yet, but he's still, his stat-wise, too, is better than what Daniel Jones is doing right now and better than what Drew Locke is doing right now. And you want a spark. He drew a spark to the team when he was playing.
Yeah, so but that was
I
like –
I think that's an opportunity. And if you lose, you lose. You're losing
that
now.
But that whole Tommy DeVito project or experiment has already sailed. Like, when he was given the opportunity, he did well when he first got in there, but I think that was more because it was a surprise for other defenses that didn't know anything about him, more than it was Tommy DeVito and his playing and his skill. I don't see Tommy DeVito anything more than a third string quarterback in this league. He was even being ousted right towards the end when they had to bench him again. Like, he was just having such bad play at quarterback, turning the ball over, that it got to a point where the Giants were like, all right, well, we tried, but this is just not working out. So, I mean, if you're going to make a quarterback move now at this point in the season, you're not saving your season. You're not really doing anything. You might as well just ride it out with Daniel Jones. Or if you want to bench him just to kind of make him an example, then next man up, put Drew Locke in. That's really it. Like, I think you brought Drew Locke in for a reason as an insurance quarterback, maybe potentially working to try to maybe vie for the starting job, and this could be his opportunity. Is if you want to bench Jones, you do it now. You put Drew Lock in that starting, you know, role. Get him all the reps in practice and get him ready for the next matchup. That to me makes a lot more sense. I don't think you're making any kind of quarterback moves. Like, what are you going to do? Sign Ryan Tannehill right now off the free agent heat? Bring him over?
I don't think they're going to do that.
Like Joe Flacco and hope for the best. Like, I just think it's one of those things in those scenarios. It sucks. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's teams that are in that same situation where they don't have a quarterback answer. They know the guys that they have in place are not the answer. But you're going to have to just wing it the rest of the year until you get to the offseason where you can make a change, where you can maybe look to see who's available in free agency if that's the route you want to do, or in the draft or what have you. So it sucks for a few teams out there that they're in that kind of same predicament. But, again, it's just one of those things where the Giants are going to have to just grind their teeth, get through the season, and then reevaluate and decide after.
But I mean, I don't know. I really don't agree with that though. I really don't. Cause I understand.
What are you gonna do?
But I don't think, again, I already know what Drew Lock is. And if he does start winning that, then you just wreck your season anyways, because if you're winning, you're getting a worse draft spot. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think you are either. So what do you really accomplish by putting him in right now?
Well, if you want, like I said, if you wanted to bench Daniel Jones to make him an example, right, then that's the only guy that you're going to put in. You're not going to get another quarterback right now. You're not going to bring in
anybody. I don't think
you're going to
do either, but that's why I think – I don't know why you just don't put Tommy DeVito in it.
Because we've already seen
him. What he is.
We've already seen him, bro. Like, we've already seen him. He had – early on, he had a little bit of success, and then it tailed way off and went
way
into
the
gutter.
Way off by what means?
His play. Making poor decisions and turning the ball over. Like, it's one of these games where, like,
that's better than what Daniel Jones is doing right now, and he only had 3 picks last time he played.
If you want to put Tommy DeVito on, go ahead. Your season's not going to get any better.
I think so.
It's not going to
be exactly.
Any,
well, you're not. But you're evaluating. They said it right now. We're evaluating right now. What is there to evaluate in Drew Lock right now?
Well, there's a reason why they brought him in, thinking that they could work with him to possibly see what he has for them. Maybe at starting quarterback. So, like, if you're investing money, and there was a lot of hype on him, too, when he came into camp, and everybody's saying how good he was doing in training camp and that he was showing some flashes, and that don't be surprised if maybe he could, you know, make a run for that starting job. But, like, if that was all true, if that the hype was real, then why don't you give him a shot now in the season to see what he really has for you? Because you can't go off of what he did in Seattle. You can only go off of what he's done for your club, because it's a different offense, because you have a different coaching staff coaching him up. So if you really wanted to find out what he can do for the Giants, now's the time you do it. But if you don't have any intentions on benching Daniel Jones, you just stick with Daniel Jones. Like there's really no evaluation period right now. So, like, it's either you make a change or you don't make a change. And I don't really care who you go with. Like, Tommy DeVito, you can go, you know, Drew Lock. But I feel like there's a reason why Tommy DeVito isn't second on the depth chart.
I get that for even a reason because, again, I mean, Drew Lock's got experience and has been there and things like that. I'm saying
coaching staff.
I think you even say even what he did in Seattle doesn't – don't knock him for that or whatever. I think that's actually elevated him to where people think that he can potentially do something, because he played well when he was with Seattle when he was asked upon. Before that, in Denver, he was terrible. So I think just that little
different
bit of
environment, different situation
in Seattle helped him out to kind of say, hey, you know, maybe we do make the switch here. But I think if you had to, you should have done that in like week 3. I think if you had to figure out what Daniel Jones was doing, and then you're like, hey, we still got Drew Lock in our back pocket, let's do this. Or say we're winning, and then Daniel Jones starts to act kind of funny, then you put him in later on. But right now we're at a spot to where, even like they said, they are literally evaluating everybody right now and looking to see who's going to stick around on this team. And I don't think you really do that with Drew Lock here only way I see this again is if you're already saying you're moving on and you're going to somehow shut down Daniel Jones. You're going to figure out, see if you can kind of get a trade somehow for something for him. And you're going to see that you do have something for Drew Lock because he's done after this year. His contract's over. So you can maybe re-sign him again cheap if he does okay enough for your bridge quarterback or just a backup again. But I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft either, though. If they're not even any good ones, I don't think it's worth it.
I mean, this is the thing is if you don't, you're going to have yet another terrible season. Unless you're going to plan on – here's the thing is you either have to draft a quarterback or you have to pay a large amount of money for a veteran quarterback to come to your team. Like, and the contract that you have to deal with Daniel Jones, that's what makes it difficult is – you got a lot of money invested in him, and it's not as much as obviously like the upper end quarterback. It's there. It's on the books. And until you can get out of it in 2025 very comfortably, like that's where you save the most amount of money. Mm-hmm. That's why it shows me that the Giants, in order to get another quarterback in this kind of realm, you draft a quarterback. Because the amount of money that that rookie quarterbacks make now is minimal, and you can afford that. You can afford Daniel Jones to still be there and have a young quarterback come in, work with the staff. You're gonna end up starting him over Daniel Jones, and he'll just be there for insurance if anything was to happen with the rookie. But that, to me, it makes the most financial sense, the most logical sense of how to attack this offseason. Now, I'm not saying that just because they draft a quarterback this year means they're out of the quarterback market for the following year. Because if the quarterback doesn't work out or they don't see any traits that they like in the season, they can always be like, all right, well, we're going to have to go for a better quarterback market the following draft. So if you don't go quarterback this year, the problem with doing that is that you're going to still have Daniel Jones, and depending on how much money you want to spend on the quarterback market, at least for 1 year, whether let's just say maybe you bring Joe Flacco or someone like that that you can get on the kind of cheap where you could make it work, you're just delaying the inevitable. Like, I just feel like you're going to give up money to that said quarterback, whoever it may be. And then everybody knows that he's only going to be there for the year just to kind of ride the wave of the season. But you're still going to have to draft a quarterback regardless. Like, at least with a young rookie, if you were able to, I don't know. Let's just say like the Giants select Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, who's very accurate, who's shorter, kind of like a Tua stature type of quarterback, but very mobile, is accurate, has a strong arm, very smart. He checks all the boxes except for height, but you bring him in and who knows? Like maybe he could pan out and he's going to be 25. I know that's kind of like it's too old of a quarterback to draft, that whole stigma. But what if he just balls out? Like, what if you just kind of catch lightning in a bottle with one of these quarterbacks that you draft? And now you're on a way better path than you thought, post.
No, I get that. Yeah, so that's even maybe best case scenario. But
that's the point. I mean, but that's how the draft is, right? Like, even though everybody is dogging the quarterbacks for this upcoming draft, maybe two guys out of the draft, maybe three end up surprising the hell out of everybody and superseding expectations. It happens every year. So for the Giants and with Daniel Jones, it just makes more sense to draft a quarterback and see what you can accomplish with that quarterback.
So you're saying best case scenario for them is right now is play him out the rest of the year. Don't bench him. Keep him for next year and then just start a rookie quarterback next year.
Yeah, best scenario. Because you don't have – what is your answer Like, what is your
But that's what I'm thinking. I don't think there is one. But I don't think even Daniel Jones there, say, even – because if the quarterback's not ready, what, are you just going to throw him in there anyways and then he sucks and then, you know, you suck again anyways? Or you start Daniel Jones again and you still suck and you're staying in the same position again, but at least you're trying to train the rookie on the back end again. But it's another failed season again, right?
Possibly. You don't know.
I just –
but that's the thing.
I don't think that's part of the investing in the game plan. It doesn't matter, dude.
It doesn't matter. I mean, any given season could be a failed season. You don't know. So, like, at least you're showing that you're trying or something. And with his contract, that's the sticking point. You can't just get rid of him right now. You can't. It's too much money. You know? I mean, I know Russell Wilson and all that, but that was just absolutely stupid what they did. Like, it didn't make – even – NFL owners, GMs, were berating that decision by the Broncos. They couldn't even believe it. It was a shock. Nobody does that. That's a stupid decision. So, I mean, you got so much guaranteed money right now tied up with him. And if you did move on, I mean, you can if you really want to and you just want to kind of suffer the consequences and just give up that money right away and have to deal with it for the following year. Now, mind you, that guaranteed money goes on next season's cap.
Not
the current. Season. So you're gonna be eating it anyway. At least you have him. He already knows your offense. He's already there as an insurance policy. And again, if the court, let's just say, like to your point, if the rookie isn't ready, and they're like, well, we don't want to feed him to the dogs just yet, you have Daniel Jones start the season. Not like he's gonna play the whole season. You let him start the season till the rookie gets more comfortable with the offense. If he needs a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, maybe even a month of time for him to get comfortable, then you can put him back in. So there's ebbs and flows to this situation, just like anything else. And you know what? Right. There's no right answer right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that's why we're kind of debating it.
But my thing is the most logical answer is right staring at their face, and this is kind of like the only route to go where you don't get killed financially.
All right, here we've got back to the Stone Ages in the house with us. Mainly the thing is to bench the googly-eyed Giants quarterback. If he gets hurt, the Giants are on the hook for this entire contract, only $21 million hit in 2025. Then he says, let's go Tommy Cutlets and the number one overall pick. Nice. Yeah, see, well, I mean, that's why I'm kind of looking at it, too. Because, again, what you keep Daniel Jones, you stay in some games, maybe even win a few. I'm not saying tank either, because I'm not one of those guys that even that just said, hey, let's tank to make sure we get the number one stuff.
Nobody tanks.
I'm all about even let's see exactly everything that we even have. And Drew Lock, I get it, too. I mean, he signed him to a one-year deal. He's at this point a veteran there, too. It's a bit of a change for the quarter for the offense, I guess, a little bit. But what are you looking at, especially if you think, like you said, even too, you're planning on keeping Daniel Jones for the remaining year, you know, because you think that you're still tied to this contract. What's the point then? What's the point in even putting Drew Lock in then? So I don't know. Like I said, they're still, like I said, they're looking at it. They're evaluating people or whatever. So we'll see how it goes.
It's funny that they say that. It's funny if they say that, evaluating people. No, they didn't just start evaluating people. They've been evaluating people from the offseason.
But basically what they're looking at is that their offseason's already here.
It doesn't any organization evaluates the players throughout the year. So kind of come out and say, oh, we're evaluating. You've been evaluating. That's why you've made your decision up about how you're not with Daniel Jones for the future. Come on. It's just silly.
Yeah, all right, here we go. He also says, the point, too, is avoid him getting hurt, just like the Raiders did with Derek Carr a few years ago.
No.
Yeah, they didn't want him getting hurt.
I'll tell you right now, that was just utter stupidity by Josh McDaniels and that staff. Like, the injury thing, locks him in for next year. Okay, you mean a franchise quarterback gets locked in for another year? Okay, cool. But, no, he wanted to get out away from Derek Carr, which was absolutely stupid. And you can see, look at where the Raiders are now. No quarterback, nobody that is really the answer. You know, they're in the same situation that the Giants are in. You know, just that they don't have a veteran quarterback there. They got a second-year quarterback in Aiden O'Connell who showed promise, but wasn't given the reins to even prove to that he maybe potentially could be the starter. And now you're left, and now they're left here just like the Giants. Like, we're quarterbackless going into the draft. What are they going to do? They got to take a quarterback. They have to. It's just another one of those things where, like, this is one of the most needy positions in the NFL, but there's just not enough to go around. And in this draft, like we mentioned before, it doesn't look very strong. It looks pretty weak. So, like, it's either you take a quarterback and see what you can get out of them, or you just kind of mail it in, draft best player available, and then most likely you're going to have a losing season next year already. You already know that. And then you wait for the better mm-hmm. quarterback draft to show up. So, but you're taking a risk either way.
Right. So, but like, say, let's look at even your Raiders at this point. You're probably starting, are you starting Desmond Ridder for the rest of the season then? That's what they're planning,
no,
right?
No, Aiden O'Connell's due to come back soon. So I kind of expect when Aiden O'Connell's ready that he'll take over the reins. Gardner Minshew has just kind of, I think he's had to have played his last snap as a Raider. I think the Raiders are going to look to get out of that contract after this year, make him a post-June cut, and move on from him. Desmond Ridder, third round pick. I mean, he's had a one dismal season with the Atlanta Falcons. This is kind mm-hmm. of like his second chance, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he showed something because he has an arm. Mm-hmm. Last week, throwing a touchdown pass to, or not last week, but last game.
Yeah, the week. Yeah, last
throwing
game.
The touchdown to Brock Bowers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. People are going to say, well, it was garbage time. Whatever.
Yep,
I mean, he still made the play. So I think Ridder will get the start now, mm-hmm. like this upcoming week, especially after off the bye week, we're able to work with him a little bit more. But I do expect when Aiden O'Connell is healthy that he will come back and be the starter mm-hmm. for the rest of the year. Okay. But it's just a messy situation altogether.
Well, it is. Again, and that's why it's similar, but it's different. And that's why I'm kind of even looking at, like, the thing with Ridder. It's like, they're starting Ridder, though, even too, because they want to see what they even have in him, what they got, you know what I mean, for what they traded away.
Well, so
they
kind of want to the see real reason why they're starting Ridder is because they don't want to see Gardner out there.
Oh, they don't want to see Gardner because you know what he is, though. You know what I mean? Well, and there's no point.
I mean, hello, NFL fans, other teams that have had him, we all know what he was. The Raiders were just like, well, let's give him a shot to be a starter. No, he's not a starter. Never mm-hmm. was, never will be.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. So there we go. We had a good talk about the New York Giants here. Moving on. I'm interested to see what happens with it, I guess. You know, interested, you know, quotations, I guess. You know, maybe terrified what might happen with this. Yeah. Just because, it sucks. Like, you know, when you think you even have a team, we were bad for a while, and then all of a sudden you had that little glimmer, like, oh, we might be getting back here again. All right, cool. And then it's your shot back down again. Yep. You're kind of like, man, this just sucks being down here so long and just not, you know, having that. You don't have expectations like these Dallas Cowboys fans have, but you have a glimmer of hope a little bit, and then they just shoot you back down, and then you're just shattered again. Like, no, we still suck. We suck again, you know. But hopefully things can turn around here. I'm glad they're sticking with the regime that they have there now, and I'm liking some of the moves that they're doing. Hopefully they can get us out of this hole here. It sucks, though, too, when you see some other teams that have a quicker turnaround than what our, you know, franchises mm-hmm. have had. All right, Joe. So some other news that's going on right now. The Bears now, after a surprising loss here, too. We talked about this game last week when we did our picks. You had picked the Patriots, but then even last minute, a change of heart, just depending on even, too, like the injury list and stuff
so
like that.
Stupid.
You changed to the Bears.
Just
so we both went with the
it.
Bears at home, and then all of a sudden, here come the Patriots here. Drake May, my guy. And Caleb Williams running around.
He almost was your guy. He was almost your guy.
He was almost my guy. I was hoping. I was really hoping. But here we go, another game. Caleb Williams sacked 9 times, six or more sacks in back-to-back games, and it's just looking good, bad for the Bears right now. And it's kind of funny too that we don't have egg on our face, at least at this point. But all the other media out there who crowned this team already, right, Joe? Right. Where's the crown now? You know, so Eberflus, he was one of the guys that was on our target for, you know, being, you know, on the hot seat. His seat's a bit hotter right now because now axes are dropping right now. And now their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, goes down. And Thomas Brown now bumped up into the OC situation. If you guys don't know Thomas Brown, he's part of the Sean McVay tree. He was there with the Los Angeles Rams when they won the Super Bowl here as a running back, tight ends coach, former running back. And then also he had been an offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers too. So he's held this job before. So it's going to see, we're going to see what happens with this offense, see if things change, at least play calling wise. But for one, I still see lack of protection. And then two, it's hard to protect a guy when a guy's running backwards 10 to 12 yards and scrambling side to side and hanging on to the ball way too long.
Yeah, you know, and this is also really funny because Matt Eberflus, this is what head coaches do. They start pointing the fingers at their other assistants because, oh, it's not me. It's not me. It's him. It's him. And it's him. You need to get rid of those guys because they're the problem. This is where, you know, head coaches, you know, they know that their seat is very hot. They know that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them and they're just not, they don't have answers. So they end up pointing fingers at other guys like Bears, you know, offensive coordinator getting fired to save, to try anyway, to at least give him a little bit more time to try to save his job. That's all it is. It's, they're not, behind closed doors, they're not placing blame on him saying, oh, it's just his fault. But behind closed doors, like, dude, we got to let you go. And basically what it means is because I'm trying not to get fired. I'm trying to stay here longer. So for Eberflus, he knows his seat is red hot right now. It's on fire. He has to show something. Like we talked about it before the season started, that drafting Caleb Williams, you know, comes with a lot of responsibility because now you're going to have very high expectations to turn this team around with a very good defense, and we're not seeing the evidence. We're not seeing anything. There has been flashes. There's been a couple games this season where Caleb Williams looked pretty good, played pretty well, and they got the wins. But now you're getting to the meat of your schedule where it's more difficult opponents, and they had an easy schedule early on, and now you're getting to the nitty-gritty of it to where, all right, maybe that was just kind of like a mirage. We fumbled a few things. Caleb Williams is still doing the same things that he did in college, guys. Like we tried to tell you when he got drafted that he was not the best quarterback coming out of the draft, that he was not the guy. Now, he's got tremendous physical talents. You know, he's got that kind of like he always gets compared to Patrick Mahomes and his mobility and some of the plays that he creates out of thin air, that's there. But when you need a quarterback to play quarterback and not just play maker, you have to run the offense, go through the necessary targets and go through your progressions to receivers. He struggles with that. He looks at one receiver, kind of like in college, looks at one receiver. If it's not there, then he starts to get antsy. And then he looks for someone else. And if they're not there, forget it. Now he's running in circles. And he's running like just like Jim said, 10, 12 yards back. And then guess what? In the NFL, way faster and stronger than college players. And they can catch you. And that's what he's starting to realize now, that he can't do the same thing he did in college. And it's the whole offense, because he's the quarterback, the whole offense is struggling with his leadership. It's struggling with his playmaking ability. And it's making the offense struggle, which in turn, Bears are losing games. And for Matt Eberflus to just call out the OC and fire him, just to kind of maybe elongate his own, you know, head coaching opportunity here for the Bears. Right. I think it's one of those things where, like, okay, cool, you change the OC. Guess what's going to change? Not the offense. The same offense. You can't change an offense in the middle of the season. Even just by firing your OC, it's the same offense. The only thing they can hope for is maybe better play calling in certain situations, but that's really it. So right. Congratulations on the new OC. You get your opportunity. Maybe you can show some people that maybe you deserve a shot at, mm-hmm. at becoming an official OC. Maybe the Bears keep him. Maybe they don't. But this is kind of like a last-ditch effort for Eberflus to kind of try to keep his job.
Yeah, and it kind of stinks, though, even, too, for him, too, because the defense was doing their jobs here, you know. Just yeah, the offense sure. is failing them at this point. And, you know, I can see even the injuries on the offensive line here with Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, and Wright. But still, when you have, I think, you know, the running back here, DeAndre Swift here back here, and he's only getting on average 60 yards, I think, a game. You got to get it open here and get the more balance, get that running game. And that's kind of what the Chicago Bears have always kind of been about, Joe. Your defense mm-hmm. and running the football. And this team isn't even like that. So what do you do here as an offensive coordinator? And with Caleb Williams holding the ball too long, try and simulate a run game. Quick, short, dump-off passes, DeAndre Swift. Get him involved in the passing game. Right. Spread it out a little bit here. Even some of these wide receiver screens, something quick, dial it up to get him out of that, and then also get him in a rhythm. Go fast-paced a little bit, too. Keep the other defenses on their heels, something I don't think they were doing as much or as well in the last couple of games here, too, for them. But, again, I think at this point, too, I don't think I like the higher – first of all, when they grabbed them, remarkably enough, the defense has played well. But, I don't know if he's going to stick around too much longer here with this one.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's going to come down. That's why they made this brash move, just like the mm-hmm. Raiders did. When they fired mm-hmm. Luke Getsy, understand yep. this, they tried him out. He wasn't their first choice. They didn't get, Cliff Kingsbury like they really wanted. So they settled. They settled mm-hmm. for Getsy, hoping that maybe he can like resurrect his coaching career. Nope. So now Antonio Pierce is even feeling the heat a little bit and feeling the pressure. He might be one and done in Vegas, and that's why he fired Luke Getsy. That's why he also fired, what was it, the offensive line coach, the quarterback coach. They all got fired on the same week. Yeah. So again, look, we also talked about him. Watch out. Maybe
he's handing out firings like Oprah. Yeah, you're fired. You're fired.
That's right.
Or that guy in it sucks. I forget his name. And then the movie with Dave Chappelle. Was it Half Baked, right? Half Baked.
Half Baked. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're cool.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Right? Oh, man. Yeah. Good movie. Joe, so here we're going to get to our pick segment, but first off, tell everybody again how they can find more videos and shows like ours here at Grumbling
Space. Yeah, it's very easy. Appreciate you guys, stopping in. Appreciate all the support. First of all, Blitz Nation's been awesome to us. We are almost there. We're getting close to 4,000 subscriptions. If you could do us a huge favor, if you're new to the show, even if you're not, tell some family and friends that they love NFL Talk. And we are the most interactive NFL talk show out there. Want to prove it to you? Drop it in the comments down below. Head over to YouTube. Hit that subscribe button for us at Grumblings Media. Also, don't forget to hit the thumbs up. Don't forget to share and what have you. And also, you can also take us on the go and become part of the nation by anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, if you wanted to go further, look into grumblingsmedia.com. Their website has a plethora of articles and other podcasts like ours, whether it be political, you're into political, sports, entertainment, it's all there. Make sure you give it a look-see.
That's right. All the political hype maybe has died down a little bit after the election and things like that, Joe, but there's a lot of stuff there.
All I know, man, like, listen, they won three times. Republicans won three times. They got the House, yep. They got the Senate, they got the presidency. And sweep by the Republicans.
Yep. And wouldn't you know it, the stock market started to go up. Bitcoin's up. Everything's up now.
It's funny because my dad said that his stock was it when President Trump got elected or not elected, but when he got all the votes,
the
right?
And they're like, yes, yes.
This is going to be your president,
it's in the
right? The very next day, his shares. He made like 10 grand in one day. Yep. Like, that's how much of a difference it made. So,
mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Exciting. So hopefully there's exciting times moving forward for this nation. I can't wait till January on that one. So.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Okay, so, Joe, there it is. It's the pick section right now. Here we are, week 11, just like that, creeping up on us. I grabbed the photos quick, and I'm sorry, Joe. I will do better and getting better photos now. But see, I'm sorry.
Terrible. You did me dirty, bro. What the hell?
There you go. There's the stats right now. There's 92.
I'll send you a picture if you want me smiling.
There you go. Maybe we can do that too. Because this I was like, terrible. Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll put some photos right there. So all right, I'll get it off the screen for us right now. So we're doing better. Last week only 9 to 5. We're working 9 to 5, Joe. A couple of those swayed, not against or against our way here, some other ones though. Luckily, we held on to even like the Detroit Lions game. You had the Arizona Cardinals on that one, so you got me on that one. But some were close. That Minnesota Vikings game again was hairy at times. And you see some of these guys, Sam Darnold, which would look so good and so clean, making a few bonehead mistakes here. So I think going to the well of Justin Jefferson a little too much, and defensive players were keying up on that.
Yeah, you're starting to notice that, even with Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson Sam Darnold did rely on Jefferson a lot because they didn't have Addison early in the year. They didn't have TJ. So, he kind of depended on him pretty much every game. Now you're at the point of the season where teams have enough video footage on Sam Darnold to see, all right, well, how much is he keen on Jefferson? We know that the ball's going to go to him, but how much? And it's at such a enormous amount of times that defense was like, all right, well, this makes it easy for our job. We're just going to key on double teaming him and making sure that he doesn't get involved that much. They slow him down, but Sam Darnold still tries to feed him regardless of coverage. So now Sam's at the point where he needs to learn from his mistakes, much like Daniel Jones, and now utilize everybody. Because now you have Addison, you have TJ. It's not just Jefferson there. So watch for Sam Darnold if he corrects himself going into this week. Starts to spread the ball around a lot more than what he used to do and just go for Jefferson. So that'll be a key thing to watch for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go right to it. Thursday night football. We've got the Washington Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia looking really good. Again, though, Jalen Hurts, though, again, is really sketchy to me again. I don't know if I trust that guy even right now. But as long as you got Saquon, and Saquon, we trust. That's what they got to do. Ride that wave, baby. Get that running game going, and then you can. The rest is cake here. But you do have the Washington Commanders, who are still red hot, suffering a few losses here. Last week was tough. They almost got back into it here, but they're one of those grinded out type of teams, and they're still young, so. They let one off the hook. I think they're angry. They're hungry still. Jaden Daniels still looks good. Terry McLaurin, he was hyped in that game. And I feel again, just to touch on it quick, and not get into it, but there are a lot of games, including this one, where officiating were really bad. With Washington. There was a lot of them suspecting. We'll get into the Bengals game and stuff like that, too. But there was a few different ones there on either side of the ball, too. But Washington kind of, I think they're going to go in this game, even though it's in Philadelphia. I think they're really going to kind of be hungry here, going at them. And I don't know exactly who is the underdog in this one. Philly's got them in the division right now. They're at 7-2, right? And then the other team 7-3. I think they're 7-3. So they got them by an edge. But this is kind of the tiebreaker here. So I think if Washington pulls out the win, they will jump up in front. I think it's going to be close, but I really like the chances of the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that has been on the rise this season, and it's all because of the rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Yes. We talked about rookie quarterbacks early on coming up for the next coming draft. But Jaden Daniels is like no other. This is a rarity, people. We've seen back-to-back drafts where a rookie quarterback came in and started for a team and immediately changed how they play, immediately changed the productivity of that offense. Jaden Daniels is crazy good. We think that just because you take a quarterback in the high end in the first round, that you got your answer. Like, he's going to pan out. Doesn't always happen. This is an extreme rarity. So CJ Stroud a year prior goes to the Texans. Now Jaden Daniels at Washington. This shit does not happen. Just want to let everyone know. But Commanders playing really good football. Now, the thing that kind of clipped their heels last week is their defense kind of let them down at the end. Mm-hmm. They had to stand up. They had to get a stop against the Steelers, and they just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is it. Like, their defense hasn't played up to par like their offense. And until it does, when you go against some of these tougher teams, especially when you get into – if they get to the playoffs, because you still got a lot of games to go, you're going to have to find a way to win defensively. Like, Commanders, I think they can score at anybody right now. They've played so well. But defensively, you got to find an answer there. The Eagles, this is going to be in Philly. Going to be pretty tough environment for them to play. Jaden Daniels has played in tough environments already and has done well. But the Eagles, I look at their run game as going to be the toughest part. I really think that, with Saquon Barkley, that's where it starts, like, for the offense for the Eagles. It starts with Barkley, and then they capitalize off of Barkley's runs. So unless Washington can figure out a way to stop Barkley and then even try to cap Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, it's a tall order to kind of get over here. So
right.
I'm going to go with the Eagles being home. And even though, like, Jalen Hurts, again, like, he, he's hit or miss lately this season, but I'm going to go with the home team.
Yeah, and it's a tough one here. It's going to be a tough divisional matchup. Like you said, I think it's going to be close. I could see Washington coming in here and doing well, but in Philly, it's always tough. These guys are going to play each other again, so who knows what that one will be, and that one's going to be in Washington. I think I might even go on Washington on this one, but being that it is in Philly right here, and like you said, the defense is playing better than they really should be, so I think that's kind of the highlight here. They're not as good as what, it's played out to be actually right now. So I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles as well here. All right, next, we got the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears here. Who knows? Now they've made the change in the offensive coordinator. That's it. The Bears are going to start lighting it up here. And I always have been siding with Chicago here at home. They burned me a few different times at defense. But the funny thing is the health with Jordan Love here for the Green Bay Packers too as well. And not only is his health, but is that even the health kind of adding to the kind of sophomore slump that he's having even right now? Because you got to admit, even that he is having a little bit of a slump here coming back off that contract, to where you almost even have to question it again, because we brought it up back when he had gotten paid in this offseason. What are you investing in? Because, again, you're looking at one season basically. And then here you go. You're signing to the deal. Hopefully you still get what you had last year. But now this year, injured multiple games, not looking, too comfortable in the pocket there, making some key turnovers. And that's the thing is, too, he's not making a lot to where it's all over. He looks absolutely horrible. But just, in key moments, it's like, oh, what are you doing? Like, why he's got his lowest lows and then his highest highs with this guy. So it's tough to gauge where Jordan Love is on this one.
Well, this is where he gets back on track. He's going to play against Chicago Bears. He most likely will have plenty of opportunities to overcome whatever, mind block is in his way. So, honestly, like, this is kind of like a good time for the Packers to go up against the Bears. Bears are reeling. They changed their OC. Caleb Williams is going to continue to do Caleb Williams things. And the Packers, especially defensively, pretty darn good defense right now. So far this season, they've been one of the top defenses. And they're going to come after Caleb Williams. They're definitely going to put a lot of pressure on him. They're going to try to get him to force mistakes, getting the ball more times than not in Jordan Love's hands, giving him ample opportunity. The Packers, to me, are going to – I don't think they're going to run away with this one just because of Jordan Love's kind of inconsistencies so far at quarterback. But I think the Packers get the W.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this one too, and they might be close for a little bit just because, like you said, with that little inconsistencies, I guess, too. But I think the ability of the Packers to be balanced with Josh Jacobs, too, on top of it, along with Jordan Love in the passing game, I think they're just going to be better coached and be more prepared than what this what the Chicago Bears are going to be. So I'm going to go with the Packers, too, as well. All right, next we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Detroit Lions here. Here we go, the Lions. Again, snuck out a close one here. They should have never had that one. You know, it's. I think it was the first time since 1970, I think they said, that a team with five turnovers and being down by that many, you know, five interceptions, down by many points, came back and win. I mean, that's craziness. But Jacksonville. Are they going to be with Mac Jones again? Are we going to see another Mac Jones sighting here? Because I think that would be very interesting with that team as well. Because I was even thinking about it after, say, after even Trevor Lawrence got injured. I was even debating here, do the Jacksonville Jaguars, even just one, get a spark? But Trevor Lawrence hasn't been playing the best as it is. Pull him out, bench him, and put in Mac Jones and see what you even have with this one. You know what I mean? And almost look at it as, you know, hey, you know, maybe you're punishing Trevor Lawrence for a little bit, but sometimes, you know, so you've seen this. Sometimes that's what these guys need or whatever. You're playing poorly, I'm benching you. This guy's playing. And then at least you see what you have in Mac Jones.
Well, we haven't been able to find Trevor Lawrence this season anyway. So if you bench him, it's not going to be any different. You've already paid this guy a lot of money. He's your starting quarterback, whether you like it or not at this point. And whoever, if Doug Peterson loses his job, if he gets fired at the end of the year, it's going to take a special coach that wants to coach Trevor Lawrence. That's going to be a very difficult thing. Do they think that they could turn him around and get him back on the upswing? So that'll be interesting all in itself. But for Trevor Lawrence, even if you were to like bench Trevor Lawrence, put in Mac Jones. It sounds like Mac Jones is on track anyway to start this week. But again, even if, let's just say Mac Jones has a good game, not a great game, a good game, shows something there, he's not going to be sticking with the Jaguars. Like, Mac Jones wants to start at quarterback, or at least have the opportunity to start at quarterback. And now that Trevor Lawrence is locked in with that contract, I see Mac Jones being there this season and then looking towards the free agency period. But again, I would like to see Mac Jones get another opportunity because he did show flashes in his rookie year with the New England Patriots. Like, he legitimately looked like he could be the answer for them. And then obviously the offensive play calling changed, the offensive coordinators changed, like, you know, a Rolodex, and really couldn't get back on the same page with him. So Jaguars, sure, put Mac Jones out there, see what he can do. Basically, he'll be debuting for free agency, really. But the Jaguars, I'm sorry, I don't see them winning this game. Like, it's curtains for them. They're on their way to keep continuing to lose, making sure that Doug Peterson is going to lose his job at the end of the year. So give me the Lions in this one. And even though they had a scare last week, but let's be honest, the Texans aren't like a dumpster fire team. They're not like a bad team. They're one of the good teams that are competitive. So the Lions had struggles against them, but they were able to overcome. I think they'll be able to manage against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think so. The same thing too, with this team too as well. Minnesota Vikings and the Tennessee Titans here. Vikings, Titans looking a little better, making some competitive games here. So this one makes it a little more interesting. Yeah, Will Levis is back. Actually, when I looked at some of the throws, I'm like, man, that's what we liked. I mean, dude, that's what we liked about you, buddy. Like, why can't you keep getting this together here? And then, you know, now Sam Darnold again with the turnovers here. Like, oh, that's what we didn't like about you, buddy, you know. But like you said, I think he's kind of going to the well a little too much. Dude, just spread it out a little bit. You've got this other talent around there. Just chill out. And I think that's even what, you know, his head coach was talking about on the sidelines. You saw him. Yeah, Kevin O'Connell was talking about on the sidelines with him. You know, like, dude, all right, you got this, right? Let's chill out. Let's simplify this here, and let's get out of here with a win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just it was basically bottom line. It was like, listen, it's not all you. You don't have to make everything happen. He goes, I know you like to throw to Jefferson, but we got other guys on this team that you can throw to, and they're going to do pretty good. So let's just distribute the football all over the field, you know?
Mm-hmm. That being said, though, too, Titans, again, I don't think it's still – I think they're going to make this a competitive game. But overall, I think I'm going to side with the Minnesota Vikings on this one to keep it rolling.
Yeah, and just to be fair to tell everybody out there, we're doing this very early this week because we have no injury reports. It's only Tuesday. Yes. Wednesday is the first day of injury reports. So we are literally winging it on who's injured, who's not on these. So take that into consideration.
Yeah, take that, and then you'll see if maybe there's a difference with our picks, if you are tracking our picks, stuff like that, because we do make some changes sometimes.
But, yeah, so like the Vikings, to me, this is kind of like their bounce-back game. I mean, honestly, they struggled last week. This is where they're going to kind of get back on their horse and take over this game. I don't think that it's going to be some kind of crazy score, but at the same time, I think this is going to be somewhere in the realm of 27 points that the Vikings are going to be able to put up, whether it be Jefferson or Jordan Addison or TJ Hockenson getting the ball. And don't forget, they have Aaron Jones in the backfield too. So even though the Titans have a pretty good defense, they really do, if Levis somehow can figure out a way to go toe-to-toe and put up points, this could be a little scary of a game for the Vikings. But give me the Vikings anyway. They should be winning this game.
Yep. All right, next let's move on to the Las Vegas Raiders and the Miami Dolphins. Raiders, again, they're just kind of figuring out what they have here at this point. The Miami Dolphins, I think, is kind of hitting their stride now that they've got, you know, Tua back here. The offense looks a lot better. You said the defense even, again, looks better at this point, too. So they're trying to make a push to kind of get back into this division and this playoff race here while it's close. I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins on this one.
Shocker. Sure,
shocking, right?
So shocking. I mean, and the Raiders, just like the Giants, the Raiders are in a situation where they're trying to figure something out. And, you know, whether it be, you know, Ritter starting at quarterback, and that's what it seems like it's going to be this week, it doesn't matter. Like, they're just missing many players. That's really what it is. When you look at the injury report where they got a Rolodex of players that are all out, like all starters, too. That's the crazy thing. So, injury bug. Not having a quarterback, it doesn't spell win. So the Dolphins, with them coming, or they're going to be at home. Vegas has to visit. They never do play well on the East Coast anyway. Miami Dolphins should have this game all day long.
All right, the Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots. Patriots at home, you know, that's intriguing here. What kind of Patriots team are we going to get here? Because it was crazy to watch. Even the one thing I thought about the Patriots is the pass rush they were getting, too, in that game, too, which I thought was interesting. But, again, injuries on offensive line here for the Chicago Bears, so that was big here. But Rams, they kind of let us down here, too. I thought they were going to be more competitive in that game, and they didn't really show up. I think this week is going to be a game that they can get back into it here. I would like to see New England keep it competitive here and see Drake May and kind of have a game to where he doesn't have a turnover here and just kind of eliminate still some of those mistakes as he's maturing with the offense. Because, again, that offensive line, though, does suck still. I mean, you know, they hold him up sometimes and do okay, but that team still has some more building to do. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams to bounce back on this one.
Yeah, they're a rebuilding team, and they don't have all the pieces, and everybody knows it. So it's like they got the quarterback. It looks like he's going to be the real deal. He's playing really good football, especially in his rookie year. And now you build out from there. Now you shore up the offensive line. You get them more weapons. That's all on the docket for the next offseason. But until then, you're going to have to play the games, and Drake May does make them competitive. They are in games. Look at last week. Last week, the Bears probably should have won that game, but I don't know what happened there, but they forgot how to play or I don't know what's going on there. So Patriots took advantage, and Drake made him pay. So I don't foresee the Patriots winning this game against a Rams team that, honestly, they let you down. As a Rams fan, they let you down last week. That was a game that I kind of anticipated them to kind of get another win in that column and continue, right? And then you come up to this matchup where maybe you start getting a winning streak going, but this is where it's going to have to start, I guess. Rams, give me the Rams against the Patriots in New England.
All right, next, the Cleveland Browns and the New Orleans Saints. Oh, New Orleans, how about that, though? The New Orleans Saints one. And MVS and everything. And Derek Carr, here we go.
That's right.
Who knew, right?
No Marshawn Lattimore. He's gone.
Yep, I know. And it's just kind of funny. It's like a team that you think they're just beat and done, you know, against a rival again. And Atlanta brought it close towards the end. But, I mean, New Orleans just had them early on some things. And that defense, I was more surprised about. The Raheem Morris defense letting some of these big plays, that's what it was, these big plays killed them. Let that stuff happen. Even the one to, I can't remember his name right now, but Alvin Kamara, even Alvin Kamara, let that big play happen. It's unexcusable here. So, but that makes this game that more intriguing here. Like, what are we getting out of this one? Are we going to get the New Orleans of last week, or is it going to be the garbage fire of a couple weeks ago? And then Cleveland, what are we doing here? You know, famous Jameis. I mean, is he going to have, you know, multiple turnovers? I know they don't have Za'Darius Smith anymore. You know, he's over with Baltimore. So this is a tough one to pick at me, Joe. I don't know what I'm getting.
Real quick, Za'Darius Smith is in Detroit, not Baltimore.
In Detroit. That's right. Sorry,
Wanted to clarify it for the audience. I know that's what you meant, but I just didn't want anybody jumping down your throat, Jim. I got your back.
Well, maybe they can. I really don't care. You know how many teams we go over, and I forget how many we're going over. It's like, man, it's got to be like one of those. I can't remember his name either, though. Too, but a player that Rogers Cromartie. Dominic Rogers Cromartie is like trying to remember how many kids his kids' names.
Oh yeah,
so I'm trying to remember how many trades happened in the NFL because I cover so many of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the Cleveland Browns, the Saints, these are both teams that are kind of similar right now, like. You know, you make a move, you put Jameis Winston in for the Cleveland Browns. You know, his first outing had a pretty good game, had over 300 yards, had two touchdowns or three touchdowns and two picks. It wasn't terrible, but it was pretty good, you know, for Cleveland. And then last game, oh boy, the contrast, just three turnovers, three interceptions, not really doing well. What are we going to get this week? Like, this is after a bye week for Cleveland, so they have time to work on some issues. But it sounds like we're not going to see DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, we thought. I thought he was going to end up starting this week after the bye. It's not the case. I guess they're sticking with Jameis Winston still. So buckle your chin straps, Cleveland fans. It's going to be a rough one. And they're going into New Orleans. And again, neither team to me has an advantage over the other. Like, we've seen too many times both squads struggle and just flat out don't play up to par. So I don't think either team runs away with this one. I think this is going to be a very close game. I'm going to have to lean on the better quarterback in Derek Carr and the Saints.
Yep. I was just thinking about this too. This is kind of Jameis Winston's return to his other home. He did play for the Saints before, backup role. So I'm wondering if they kind of look at this and like, oh, we know Jameis a little bit here too. We know how to play him too. Maybe that'll be a little bit of a factor here. But like you said, also, I trust the Saints at home. Also, Derek Carr making bigger connections with the receivers that he still has left compared to even what Cleveland has.
They're another team that has a laundry list of injured players. Like, this is a team that once had high hopes, but now with all these injuries. And the other good thing, though, is that they got Eric McCoy back, their starting center. So last week they got him back, and you could see how they didn't even allow a sack last week. Like, that's how important it is to have your quarterback of the offensive line in play. So Definitely good job by the O-line last week for the Saints. We'll see what they can do this week.
All right. Now, it's funny, too. I think after this one, say that the Cleveland Browns lose, I'm wondering if ownership does come out here and support Kevin Stefanski after all this, you know, because that's the one thing.
Oh, they already have.
Quieter.
They already have. They've already stated, like, oh, Kevin Stefanski, because there was rumors out there, right?
Right,
and
right.
They've already stated that Kevin Stefanski is our guy. That's why we extended him, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's all lip service. Like, yeah. We've heard that before. So, like, if the Browns do, in fact, tank and lose every game from here on out, that whole conversation creeps back up again. So, right. We'll see how they finish, but I don't know. Maybe they do stick with them, but it doesn't look good right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, next we got the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is going to be an exciting game, I think, too, just because these teams, when they always play, it's always back and forth. Tough defense here. Baltimore just barely edged out a win here on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I think that was another game, too, where they should have probably even had you know, they started off slow, you know, again, and got back into it and stuff. But I think they should have been running the ball more efficiently in that game and kind of attacked better. It seemed like they held Derrick Henry back, and then all of a sudden, second half, they're like, oh, yeah, that's right, we got Derrick Henry here. Let's run the ball, you know. And
it was very different, though. Like, that game, Derrick Henry couldn't get it going. It was that simple. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bengals defense did what they needed to do to win that game. They slowed him down. They limited him to like 3 yards a carry in the very beginning of that game, where it made it difficult for the Ravens to run their typical offense because they couldn't establish the run game. So I got to give a lot of credit to the Bengals defense for stepping up. And honestly, they got screwed out of that game. Like, we talk about poorly called games. That was one of the worst ones yet. So Bengals, you deserve a win in that category, but referees didn't see it that way.
Mm-hmm. All right, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, Joe, what do you think?
Honestly, this is a very tough matchup, like you said. This is going to be another big-time test for the Steelers, I feel like, and Russell Wilson and that offense. Can they overcome a interdivision rival who plays very physical football just like the Steelers do? Like, this is why this matchup is incredible, is because they both these teams are going to be at each other's throats. They're going to be hitting hard. Sometimes they might even be hitting after the whistle. But very tough matchup. The Steelers are going to try to establish a run game with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren, just like the Ravens are going to do the opposite with Henry. But it's going to come down to who limits mistakes in this one. That's really what it's going to come down. Turnovers. We all talk about turnovers and how that dictates games. Well, that's no exception in this one. This is going to be a very tight game. Kind of like what the Steelers had last week against Washington. Went right down to the wire. I expect the same thing in this matchup. I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one. I like what they've been able to do. They managed to figure some things out. Even when Derrick Henry gets stopped against the Bengals, they were able to do what's necessary in offense using Lamar Jackson, throwing to the tight ends, to Mark Andrews, to the wide receivers, mixing it up. And then eventually getting Derrick Henry back on track. So now that we know that they've been tested in that regard, where when the run game doesn't work, they're still able to figure things out. The Steelers, I love Russell Wilson. I love what he's been able to accomplish. But this is going to be yet again another tough challenge, I'll say, against the Ravens. Either team could win this. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way. But I got to say, I just love what the Ravens have been able to do right now.
Right. Yeah. I think not having Kyle Hamilton made a difference in that last game last week when he had gotten injured. If he's able to play this week, I think that's big for the defense. And I think that the deciding factor for me here is Lamar Jackson, because Russell Wilson has got some mobility, but he's older, and he's not – you know, Lamar Jackson. We saw Lamar Jackson pull off like a 50-yard run last week out of nothing and making juke moves here and there. It was just phenomenal. And that's something that they have in their back pocket if they need it here. And the ability for his receivers and Mark Andrews being healthy, I think, is a key factor on this one too. So I'm going to go with the Ravens here as well. But I think even with Pittsburgh, and especially being home, it's going to be hype. I think it's gonna be a good game.
Actually, you know what? I'm kind of disappointed. I thought this game should be a primetime game.
Right? Right.
I mean,
like, why didn't they swap out the Sunday night? I mean, there was time.
Yeah.
There was time. Unless they thought the Jets were still going to keep this winning streak going, but now you've got the Colts and the Jets on Sunday night. Like, who's going to watch that? You know what I mean? Right. Two old guys go at it. Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers. Ooh, all right. What is this? 1999? Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. Atlanta Falcons and the Denver Broncos. Denver, they had it close again. They almost got the Chiefs, but the Chiefs prevail. Again, in Atlanta, this is where they're up and down, man. They really scare me every single week. I feel like, you know, I've got a gun to my head on this one. It's like, oh, you want? I got the Atlanta bullet in there, and I take a spin, and I'm like, all right, are they going to win or are they going to lose? What am I getting here? So Denver at home is going to be tough to beat. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's up and down. I don't know. I think I might go with the Atlanta. I think I'm going to go to the Denver Broncos in this one.
Wow, what a switch.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos.
Why not? Because even I'm looking at the division, and I'm looking at what even Tampa Bay's doing right now. I mean, they're looking really good with out there star wide receivers here. And Atlanta, again, is so skittish to me. They scare me, man.
It's not for the how the Atlanta Falcons played last week. To me, it's more about who they're playing this week. The Denver Broncos are one of the best defenses in football. I mean, if you need any evidence, go watch the Chiefs and Broncos game. Like, they really had the Chiefs on their heels. Honestly, the Broncos deserved to win that game. I mean, we talk about the referees, how they wear red and white stripes, and sure enough, they came out again in that game to help the Chiefs win. So, give me the Broncos having that great physical, in-your-face, aggressive type of defense. I think that's going to cause a lot of problems for Kirk Cousins in that Atlanta offense. Give me the Denver Broncos at home.
There you go. All right. Here he's in agreement with me on this one. All right. The Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers, Joe. Seahawks starting to look a little better here at times, but San Francisco, they've got Christian McCaffrey back. He was looking pretty good last week. And they looked like they were rolling like the 49ers of old, I think, last week. So they look real good.
Yeah, it's not just Christian McCaffrey, though. Like, yes. Debo's healthy. Juwan Jennings made a big impact. And the rookie sensation that is Ricky Parasol. Yeah. He told you to watch out for him. He's definitely getting way more involved in this offense, fitting right into that slot wide receiver for the Niners. And what's stopping them now? Now they're much healthier. Yes, of course, they're missing a couple pieces like the safety, Huafunga. But, again, this team has never looked so good. And they're going against Seattle, who they have their ups and downs. It looks like they're going to get back DK Metcalf and a healthy one at that. But is it going to be enough? Like, you got to go into San Fran now. This is another place, a hard place to play, especially for Seattle. I like the Niners in this one because they're home, because they're a lot healthier, obviously. And honestly, I think they're just playing better football right now. Brock Purdy had one hell of a week last week. Look for him to continue that with all his healthy weapons.
Yep. I'm going to go with the 49ers too as well. Since and this is the game everybody wants. Even flex this one the Thursday night, though. Kansas City and Buffalo. This is the game of the week right here because, again, you got your undefeated team and you got your other team here. That's what, 8-2, right? It's tough because Buffalo, again, they kind of edged one out last week again. You know, that was a little closer than I wanted it to be. So that was kind of hairy for me here. That's why it makes this pick a little closer here. But I'm still going to go with my gut. I'm going to go with what I want. I'm going to go with what I think that should win and what should happen. Because how many times have we seen Kansas City again just barely backdooring some of these games and really relying on that defense? I don't think the offense has looked really great at all. Patrick Mahomes at times is kind of getting out and playing that whole, I'm going to run, then I'm going to dump and all this other shit. All right, man, enough of this. I'm ready for the Buffalo Bills finally to get a win here. Against Kansas City here. I'm going to go with the Bills, circle the wagons, Let's get it.
Yeah, and if any of the games, like the Chiefs have been, they've been kind of tiptoeing on that line where, mm-hmm. like, win and loss, like, do they fall left, do they fall right? But they keep falling to the winning column because mm-hmm. they have a little bit of added help. And I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but it is true. Like, it's been kind of the NFL craze right now. We have people on social media going back and looking at plays and seeing what the refs called and kind of saying, oh, no, that's not true because this, look at the play right here. Like, so we have our own nation of investigators on the NFL prowl, and they are proving the NFL wrong in a lot of their calls. The Chiefs are no exception. We know that they get help. It's not even like you can't even argue it. And this is going to be no different. I feel like the Chiefs are going to be helped a little bit in this game, especially in critical moments. It's not all the time. It's critical moments is where they get helped. The Buffalo Bills, Jim, if any game that the Chiefs were going to lose, it has to be this one. It has mm-hmm. to be. Like, mm-hmm. I don't foresee the Chiefs going undefeated throughout the regular season, and I think right. this is kind of where they get their first loss. I agree with you. I think it's going to be in Buffalo. It's going to be absolute mayhem in mm-hmm. Buffalo. They are going to go berserk, jumping through tables and just going absolute berserk. So I like the Bills in this one. I think they're prime and ready now that they have Amari Cooper at their disposal. This is going to be one epic game to watch. Give me the freaking Bills.
Nice, nice. I love it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, dude. And what's funny, too, is let's say even if Kansas City goes undefeated this year somehow, mm-hmm. this has got to be one of those most underwhelming undefeated teams.
That's right.
Probably of
That's
all right. time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Most likely 100%. Of all time, right? You're like, how 100%. Did they even do this? Like, seriously, you yeah. know what I mean?
And I think I'm not 100% sure, but I know that Isaiah Pacheco's getting closer and closer to coming mm-hmm. back. It may be this week that he returns, which also will be a nice bump for the
yeah,
Chiefs.
Yeah, that would be yep, – bump the Chiefs. Yep, absolutely. And then maybe the refs will let Patrick Mahomes know when they get close this week.
That's right.
So, yeah. Cincinnati and the Chargers. This game, I swear, right now has playoff implications. Ooh. And because of where Cincinnati mm-hmm. is, they should have had a win last week. They don't. So they're on the outside looking in, but they still mm-hmm. have a shot. There's still mm-hmm. a chance. And the Chargers still have a chance to screw it up. They're in right now. So I think they're going to be one of those edge bubble teams mm-hmm. in the AFC side. You know, we're seeing, especially if Denver pulls off that victory here this week to get back into it. This is going to be between these three teams around here are going to be hovering around that lower area, I think, in that bubble. And I think Cincinnati plays well against this type of team. Yes, you know, Jim Harbaugh's calling Justin Herbert Beast Herbert now. That's real good. He's got to work on his names. You know
Dude,
what I mean?
He is crazy, bro. A lot of his press conferences are absolutely out of this world. Like, right? They don't even make sense half the time. The dude's calling himself Moses. The dude's right. like, he's just like saying all these awkward things, out of this world things. Like, the dude is a riot to watch. If you have an opportunity, I suggest you go watch some press conferences by Jim Harbaugh. They're absolutely right. comical.
Mm-hmm. But I like what the Cincinnati Bengals, again, they've been quietly kind of doing something and getting better at defense here. And Trey Hendrickson has been doing it anyways, but he's stopping the run. He's a sack leader right now. And the Chargers, like you said, also develop around that strong pro-style running game, and then Justin Herbert makes some plays. I think that plays into what Cincinnati wants to do here. I think Cincinnati is going to be able to shut that down, shut down the run game, and kind of attack this team a little bit. I'm going to go with the Bengals on this one to pull off a victory against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, too. Like, the Bengals finally proved to us that they can stop the run. Maybe it's because they got back a couple of guys healthy.
Yeah,
I know that there was the rookie D tackle for them. It's taken quite some time. I think he was suspended, I believe, that he missed some time away from Cincinnati. Now he's back into the lineup, and he's definitely really helped the interior of that D-line. So The Bengals looking like a little bit different of a defense than early on in the season, and their offense is much better, even without T. Higgins. They're able to capitalize with their tight ends, not just Mike Gesicki, but also Tim Hudson. Who the hell is Tim Hudson?
Yep,
Hudson. Like Tim Hudson, right? I saw him in the last game. Like he was catching one ball after another, and I'm just like, wait, what the hell's happening here? So they definitely have a lot of ways to beat you offensively. It's not just Jamar Chase, and when T. Higgins does come back, that's kind of when they're going to make their surge. That's when they're really going to make a major push for the playoffs, trying to get back in the race. And it has to start here against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. This is a team where roster-wise, I do like the Bengals roster better. I give the advantage to Joe Burrow over Justin Herbert. I give the advantage, you know, even at running back. I love Chase Brown. He's been a amazing godsend for the Bengals, drafting him in his second year, just outplaying everybody. So I like what they got going on there. Chargers, on the other hand, this is where they get themselves in trouble. I feel like they're going to try to run the ball like we talk about every single week, which we know they love to do. Jim Harbaugh, that's his whole MO. But they're going to get caught behind. They're going to be down by 2-3 scores even. And then they're going to have to throw to try to get back. And that's when they become one-dimensional. Give me the Bengals against the Chargers getting the win.
You know, one player I think for the Bengals, too, I'm kind of disappointed in is Jermaine Burton, too.
I'm not.
Yeah. No, I get it. But, no, I thought he could kind of be that, again, surprise play, you know, make some plays here, especially with the injury to T. Higgins here. And he's had opportunities. He's been down there streaking down the sidelines and right there and just blah, 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 stone hands. And it sucks.
You know what, Jim?
I'm surprised. Make some of those plays.
I'll tell you what I am surprised about Jermaine Burton. I thought he was faster. He's not as fast as I thought he was. He mm-hmm. looks like he's running in mud half the time.
Right. So I thought that too.
I just don't know. He's going to be a rotational piece, and that's it. Like mm-hmm. it's unfortunate, but I haven't seen enough from him.
Right, right. All right, and here we are, Sunday Night Football. We're going to love this one in the night lights. Indianapolis Colts in
the – It's the Battle of Texas.
Oh, man. Colts and Jets. Man, not
good.
Oh,
Colts and Jets. Colts and Jets is
on Sunday
1 o'clock.
Night. No. Well, I got to hear it. It's 8:20. Did they change that one?
I have this.
So they did. So who would they put in on Saturday night? So they did sub a game out.
Battle of Sunday Texas. Night, then? The Texans and Cowboys.
That's Monday night.
Yeah, Sunday night's Bengals.
We're on
Chargers.
Sunday. Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Yeah. So they did swap those out. But they swap that out and put that in there? All right, so mm-hmm. who do you got? You got the Jets or the Colts before we get to Monday night?
I'm looking at this as we go down the games, and I'm like, wait, the Colts and Jets we didn't pick yet.
Yeah, because I just printed it up off of Pick'em, you know, printyourbrackets.com. So I guess that's what they have. So they must not have updated it.
So now we know that we can't trust Pick'em. Got it.
No, we can't. Print your brackets. Come on, man.
Colts and Jets. Update. That's what, honestly, oh, man, the Jets should win this, right? Like, even though, like, the Colts have a decent defense, they really do. And this is kind of what perplexes me is these two teams playing each other. I expect the Jets to win because they have the better players. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know.
Is it that damaged right now? I mean, they look terrible.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It is just bad. Like, you even look at the chemistry between Devontae Adams and Rodgers. It's off. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Adams running a different way, and then Rodgers throws it another way, and it's like, dude, we saw the same thing with, you know, Garrett Wilson early in the season, and it's just continuing. How much mm-hmm. of it is chemistry now, and that's the question, or is it the offense? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, things are looking very doom and gloom as a Jets fan.
Yeah.
We thought last week Jets would put up a fight against the Cardinals. We thought that was going to be a good game. We thought that even possibly the Jets might come away with a win. Didn't happen. Now you're playing a Colts team that we thought was going to win or at least win a couple more games before they got to the Jets, but now they've been struggling too. even mm-hmm. with Joe Flacco. So this one is kind of like just toss it up and go. I'm gonna keep rooting against Devontae Adams because he left my Raiders, and so I'm gonna go with the Colts in this one. That's what I'm gonna base it off of.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I get you there, and I'm torn because again the Jets have wronged me a bunch of different times, but
oh a lot, yeah.
Again, I still think
I can't trust them.
You can't. But I mean, you figure you got to be able to on this one. Like, dude, just get it together here. You got Joe Flacco on the other side, and even you know, Jonathan Taylor. They're not even running him efficiently even either on that side. You know, I figured they were trying to get him going a little better for Indianapolis to make it a little better, and they're not really running the ball. I think I'm going to go with the Jets on this one. Why not?
Here's the other thing too. We also thought the Jets were going to beat the Patriots, but that didn't happen.
No, that didn't happen either. You know, a lot of different surprises this year. All right, so finally now to the game, the Battle of Texas here. Monday night, again, I think when they planned this schedule too, you know, eons ago, they were like, this is going to be awesome. Yep. And Dak Prescott, again, season-ending surgery. He's done. You get Cooper Rush. The offense looks terrible. Micah Parsons feels bad for all the pro players that have been there for a while. Oh, man. Doom and gloom. Everybody's sad now. And now so you guys don't like losing, do you? Oh, no, it's sad. Houston, though, pull off looking very good last week. They're looking like they're running on all cylinders, and they still don't even have their starting wide receivers back. But Mechie looked really great in that game, too, as well. Joe Mixon shut down a little bit of game last week, you know, had a few different runs, but again, not a whole lot of production out of him. But I could see that happening this week. I think Dallas's run defense sucks, and I think they're going to be able to move the ball as they want. And I'm liking the Houston Texans in this one to now be the Lone Star State's team.
Way to build that up.
Maybe America's team. Yeah, they could be the new America's team. How about you?
No, there's no America's team. Let's stop that. There's no such thing as America's team.
I know, that whole thing is a sham. Anyways, yes, we all know that. It is.
Anyway, the Houston Texans, like, there's not much to talk about this game. Like, the Texans are the better team. They just are. The Cowboys are going through a lot right now. They don't have their starting quarterback. They can't run the ball. We've said this ad nauseum through every single week. Even though they have a healthier defense, I don't think that's going to be enough. I think their defense is going to get tired out just like every other week. Give me the Texans to beat the Cowboys, and may them rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's funny with Dallas is, you know, you can kind of relate them the same thing as, like, Budweiser, right? Dallas, America's team, is like Budweiser, king of beers. The name's there, and that's what they live by, is, oh, it's the king of beers. But really, nobody really that knows and likes beer drinks Budweiser. It sucks. And so the same thing with the Cowboys. I think it's a good analogy. America's team, but do we all really like the Cowboys? No, yeah, we don't. No. It's a big sham. It's all in the name and all that. So there you go. The Dallas Cowboys are the Budweisers of the NFL. There you go.
You heard it here first, everyone.
There you go. And that's how we're going to close out the show.
That's right.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us tonight for another live one. It's week 11 here. We're excited for some of these games here as we get to see what this playoff picture might turn into going forward. And, Joe, let's bring them out here. Again, one more time, can you catch this show and others like us?
Yeah, we're still looking through a little bit of a kaleidoscope right now, looking at the playoff picture. It still hasn't ironed itself out, but it will as we get down the stretch. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Listen, if you're new to the show, we really do appreciate you guys being here. Help us grow this channel. We are growing like crazy. We want you guys to be a part of it. Head over to YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Also, don't forget, hit the thumbs up while you're there. Why not? And just so everybody knows, it's absolutely free. We're not charging you anything for this awesome content. Just head over there, hit the subscribe button. That's it. Thank you guys so much. And don't forget to share. And you can also take us anywhere you get your podcasts. If you want to take us to work, the gym, whatever, and just listen to us. I know, like, you know, sometimes you like a soothing voice, and that's what you need to hear. So, also, you can also check out grumblingsmedia.com for any articles, any podcasts like ours, whether it be sports, political, entertainment, it's all there. You can give that a look-see. And we will see you guys next week.